Well, I desire your prayers again. We look into the scriptures for a little while this evening. I have a subject on my mind, and I trust the Lord will help us to be able to comprehend the magnitude of it. It's not that it's so deep, but it is wide-ranging, reaches many different areas in life, and I believe the Lord would help us, it would have us to understand that we may not be able to address every specific issue that people deal with in life. But through the Scriptures, we find that it deals with principles of life and helps us to understand how to apply the Scriptures to the circumstances or the principles that we're dealing with in life. Now, I want to say I very much appreciate everyone being here. It's good to see a big crowd in this meeting. And thank you for making that effort and traveling as you've done. Thank you for your patience and being willing to sit and listen to the Word. You could be anywhere else. You could make a choice to do other things tonight, but thank you for being here this evening. I'd like to ask you to turn with me to the book of Joshua in the 15th chapter. And I'll read a verse. It's the 8th verse. And the border went up by the valley of the son of Hinnom unto the south side of the Jebusite. The same is Jerusalem. And the border went up to the top of the mountain that lieth before the valley of Hinnom, westward, which is at the end of the valley of the giants, northward. In the same book, chapter 18, and verse 16, and the border came down to the end of the mountain that lieth before the valley of the son of Hinnom, and which is in the valley of the giants on the north, and descended to the valley of Hinnom, to the side of Jebusun on the south, and descended to Enrogel. There's one word in both of these scriptures that I want us to make note of this evening, and that is the word Hinnom. H-I-N-N-O-M. The Valley of the Son of Hinnom. According to the commentators, no one really knows who Hinnom was or is, or who the son of Hinnom was or is. But the Valley of the Son of Hinnom is described, and the borders are given to, it's a part of the description of a border of one of the tribes of Israel. And there is a special significance to this Valley of Hinnom. And I trust in a little while we'll be looking into that and have a little better understanding of it. In the book of 2 Kings, in the 23rd chapter, we have another interesting word. This is verse 2 Kings 23 and verse 10. So speaking of Josiah, when he became king and made effort to follow the Lord, he wanted to destroy the idols, the idolatry. The scripture says, and he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. Now here are two more interesting words, Topheth and Molech. The book, the Hebrew word Hinnom, is like to the Greek word in the New Testament, Gehenna. When Jesus was speaking to the masses and talking to them about hellfire, he was talking about, I believe that's in Matthew 5. And verse 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. These two words, hellfire, is translated Gehenna Peros. Gehenna of fire. Gehenna is the Greek word that correlates to the Hebrew word Hinnom. Gehenna or Hinnom. Please stay with me here for a minute. The importance of this is that Jesus was making reference to this same valley of the son of Hinnom when he spoke of hellfire. The valley of the son of Hinnom was a valley of refuse. It was a place where all of the garbage, all of the refuse from the city of Jerusalem was cast. And when Jesus also made reference to where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, he was referring to that valley. There was a perpetual fire that was burning in that valley for several reasons. That's where all the garbage was. But another is that there was the desire to keep down the risk of infection, to kill germs by the constant burning of the refuse. Successful or unsuccessful, I can't say, I don't know. But Jesus looked at that and he used the illustration of the valley of Hinnom or Gehenna, as he used when he said hellfire, he was Gehenna Pyros, Gehenna of fire, to point people to what he was referring to, what hell would be. Hellfire. No one would want to be in the valley of the son of Hinnom. No one would want to be in Gehenna. No one wanted to go there. Only those who dumped the garbage, dumped the trash, had the responsibility of going there. No one wanted to live there. No one wanted to live near it. I've written those three words on the board, Hinnom, Topheth, Gehenna. Another word is Molech. Molech is also found in the scriptures under the name Milcom, Malcham, also referred to as Chemosh. In the Old Testament, Molech was the fire god. He was the one that people would sacrifice their children to. We read in 2 Kings chapter 23, where it said, he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. The fire god, Molech, was one, it's hard to comprehend human beings having the capability of sacrificing other human beings to this fire god. The commentators give a description of Molech as being a hollowed out brass structure with arms extended like such. And they would build fire inside of this hollowed out brass structure. And of course, the temperatures would be extremely hot. It would get very, very hot. And they would sacrifice their children to this fire god with the anticipation of satisfying the wrath of this god. It's hard to really comprehend all of that, but it took place. And Josiah had every desire to try to stamp out that practice and remove it from the Israelite nation. It was so detestable that no one, once they found where this valley was, when they destroyed this fire god, it says that Josiah defiled Topheth. The reason this place was called Topheth, what Josiah did was he desecrated that place. And whatever it was that he did, he caused it to be where no man would want to venture near that valley. All of these things is what Jesus was using to paint a picture and give a parallel and correlation to hell. No one wanted to go near Topheth. No one wanted to go near the valley of the son of Hinnom. No one wanted to go near Gehenna because it had been defiled. Josiah had defiled the place, and now a little bit on the word Topheth. The reason it was called Topheth is because of this word Toph is related to a drum. When the sacrifices were taking place, those who were involved in the ceremony would beat the drums to drown out the cries and the shrieks and the screams of those who were being sacrificed to the fire god. Again, it's hard to imagine or comprehend such a thing, but that's what took place. And Josiah was saying that he was trying to get rid of that, trying to stamp it out, and he defiled Topheth in order that no one would want to come near that fire god anymore. The scripture tells in a couple of different places, thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire, or their daughters, pass through the fire to profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord. Don't let them pass through the fire to Molech. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons, their daughters. It's in the book of Psalms. And they sacrificed in the idols of Canaan. The land was polluted with blood. Those are the things that Josiah was trying to get rid of. Now, this area of Molech, the precinct of Molech, called Topheth, is like a graveyard where the ashes of the victims were placed in containers, in urns. And those who have examined the remains of the bones there indicate that most of those victims are young children. Occasionally, maybe as much as 12 years old. And there are instances of adults. Also, there would be birds, animals represented as substitutes. But human victims were the predominant. Now, I'd like to change direction just a little bit. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 28. Now let's read 27 also. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. What ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 18, verse 7. Matthew 18, verse 7 beginning. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, If thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, or again, Gehenna Peros. Jesus was teaching us that we're better off as we go through life, if we find something on our journey that causes us an offense, to cast it aside. Now, he wasn't saying that you literally need to cut off your hand or pluck out your eyes, but he was trying to give to us a level of importance and the level of desperation that we need to be willing to go to separate ourselves from those wicked or those evil or those tempting or those what might be seemingly be very innocent things that you could participate in, but have the potential to take you down a wrong path and detour you along the way. Jesus said that if you find those things, if you come up against something like that in your experience, you're better off to cast it aside. You're better off to go through life if you think that that's something that's so important to you. If you feel like it's something that you must have, you're better to go through life a cripple, maimed, blind, than it is to have that thing and let it carry you to destruction. He was giving a warning about hellfire, Gehenna, the valley of Hinnom, this defiled place, Topheth. Now, some of you may have heard me mention a study that was given by Sheila Tropp. The title of the study was Television and Teens. Before I address that study, I'd like to read a couple more little interesting items. A study by the University of California finds that teenagers and preteens with televisions in their bedroom are more likely to use drugs, smoke cigarettes, binge drink, have illicit behaviors. The study was published in the Australian Doctor. The study links the risky behavior to the amount of and unsupervised exposure to the high-risk behavior found in the media. The study also addresses how television's replacement for parent-child interaction contributes to harmful behavior. According to the study, parents of teens and preteens with televisions in their bedrooms are less likely to know where and with whom their children spend their after-school hours. Can I tell you something, folks? This isn't preacher study. This isn't Church of God study. This isn't Evening Light study. This isn't Faith and Victory study. This is a study by the University of California giving us indicators of the damage and the detrimental effect of those types of equipment. Now, to get to the study or the article by Ms. Sheila Tropp entitled Television and Teens, if you will bear with me, I'll read a little bit. You might want to take a few notes along the way. The subject of television violence has long been a topic for study and controversy. Congressional studies were carried out in 1954, 1962, 1964, and 1970. The intense interest becomes understandable in light of the following fact. The number of juveniles arrested for serious and violent crimes increased 1,600% between the years of 1952 and 1972, according to FBI figures. This is precisely when television became a fixture in the American home and a part of our daily diet. It is no wonder experts searched for a link. In 20 years' time, the number of juveniles and teens arrested for serious and violent crimes increased 1,600%. 1982, the National Institute of Mental Health, NIMH, issued a 94-page report that said there was overwhelming scientific evidence that violence on the air spills over into the playground and the streets. The question is no longer whether TV directly causes aggressive behavior in children and adolescents, but how. Basing its case on approximately 2,500 studies published since the early 1970s, the NIMH concluded that tail violence leaves a lasting, not just a temporary, imprint on young minds. Although the report stresses the medium's potential to teach everything from good manners to proper eating habits, it points out that violence is a staple of modern TV. The percentage of programs containing violent episodes has remained the same since 1967, while the number of episodes per show has increased. By age five, the typical child in the U.S. has logged over 200 hours of violent images. The average 14-year-old has witnessed the killing of 13,000 human beings, usually without pain, funeral, or grieving relatives. Studies in the late 1960s showed 6 times more violence in Saturday morning children's programming as in adult primetime. In the fall of 1978, after more than a decade of public concern about violence, the rate of violent incidents on weekend network children's programming actually rose to a near record level of 25 incidents per hour. We've moved beyond just having to address the medium of a television. It still has its negative impact. It still has its programming, its violent programming. It's gone beyond that to introducing alternative lifestyles, promoting alternative lifestyles, endorsing alternative lifestyles. It's gone beyond the violence. It's tearing down and has torn down the fabric of a home, the fabric of family, the relationship between husband and wife, father and mother. Many times presents the man of the house as a stooge, as weak, as ignorant, as a brute. Shame on us if that's what we are. But that's how it portrays men for the most part. But I say to you, we've moved way beyond only having to address the television as the medium. We deal now with things such as computer in your home and internet. But we've moved way beyond a computer in your home and the internet. We've gone to something like this. I can carry with me everywhere I go. And everywhere that there is a Wi-Fi connection, and if I have access to the password, I can hook up to anything, the most vile and filth and obscene content that I would ever want to, should I, with something like this. If you have in your possession a smartphone, you have the same capability that this tablet has. If you have Wi-Fi capability on your smartphone, and folks, it doesn't take me long to get above my head about smartphones because I just carry a flip. That's all I have. But you can get, if you have that type of phone, if you have the smartphone, you have the ability. If that phone will hook to the internet, if it has Wi-Fi capability, you have the ability to use that phone to watch any type of programming that you wish to. You can go right down this road to this little store. You can walk into that store and you can buy a card that will allow you to access movies, songs, any mode of entertainment that you wish. I guess you have to sign in some kind of a way and prove your age, and I'm sure there's a workaround for that. But you can do any of those kinds of things that you wish. It's not just a television anymore, folks. Television, yes, we need to still speak about it, and we need to understand the vice, we need to understand the potential, the detrimental effects of it. But we've gone way beyond just that. And this study by Ms. Sheila Tropp, it still addresses the causes, the root causes that we're dealing with today. We're dealing with youth. We're dealing with teens. We're dealing with preteens. We're using it as a babysitter. We're using it as something to make my life easier. I come home from work and I don't want to have to babysit. I don't want to have to deal with those things. So I can put a disc in the television, or I can use, what do they call it? Digital recorder, some kind of digital recorder. Not the DVD. It's something that while you're away, you used to have to spend a lot of time and effort trying to program to catch a certain program. You had to have a tape to plug in the machine. You don't have that anymore. You can sit back in your chair with a little remote, push a button and say at 8 o'clock on channel 36, I want it to record this show, and it'll do it for you, and you can look at it when you get time to do it. And you'll make time to do it. I worked with a man many, many years ago when I had this conversation with him. He loved his soap operas. He loved his soap operas. And he would make sure that while he was away at work, his VCR or whatever it was programmed to catch his soap operas throughout the day. And when he would get home from work at night, he would spend the time to watch his soaps, to catch up on the news of his soaps. I looked at him with a raised eyebrow and I said, how do you have time for that? Didn't seem to be a problem. There just was time. But can I tell you what was happening? Something was going neglected. Something was going undone. While it's time to sit down for supper, somebody who ought to have their children around the table with them, spending a few moments with them, ought to be saying grace and thanking the Lord for the meal. Instead of doing those kinds of things, what we're doing is catching up on the soaps. My world is, in front of me, it's this screen. I got to catch up on my soaps. There are things that were going neglected, going undone. That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the results in our society today of so many things that have been left undone. We're dealing with the effects of those who have had to fend for themselves, take care of themselves, or have had parents who may be too busy, maybe too involved, maybe just plain selfish, say, here, sit down, push the button, and it's quiet for an hour, hour and a half. Now, I understand the need for quiet. I understand that. But folks, the Scripture says children are an heritage of the Lord. And the Scripture says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And the Scripture talks about the mothers to guide the home, to teach the children. It tells them to be discreet. The Scriptures tell us how to conduct ourselves. It tells us how to have a solid family structure. I would like to encourage you this evening, if you find in somewhere, somehow, in your family structure there are things lacking, I would like to ask you, seriously seek the Lord to help you know how to put that back together. Amen. precious little children. There's beautiful young people in this group this evening. They've been here in this meeting, and I have thoroughly enjoyed looking at their faces, looking at the way that they're attired. I have thoroughly enjoyed being able to see the simplicity of life and the purity that is on display. I'm thankful for that. I want to encourage you. Continue down that path. Yes. You're going to go against the tide of this world to do it. But I want to encourage you. Continue down that path. It will pay off for you. It will pay off for you. Now getting back to Topheth and Molech and Hinnom and Gehenna. Folks, what are we doing as a society? And maybe I'm just preaching to the choir here this evening. I don't know. But what are we doing as a society to our children? When I take the opportunity to disregard some family time and put them in front of a entertainment media, or I choose to usher them somewhere else, put them in their own bedroom with their own entertainment media, whatever that may be, whatever it may be, folks, you go down a long list of things here. Xbox, all, I don't even keep up with all of that. I can't keep up with it. But you know what I'm talking about. Some will know what I'm talking about. All kinds of game consoles and entertainment systems. It's moved so far beyond when I was a boy and we had the little Atari game. Doop, 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 doop. That's all you had. Or maybe Asteroids. Or Pac-Man, those kinds of things. Gone way beyond that. People live in a fantasy world where they're able to hook up through some type of link through the media and play a game with a person across the country, around the world, or maybe in the next room. And have interaction with them, talking with them, their headphones, their headset, their mouthpiece. War games. Assassins. All of those kinds of things. That's what we're dealing with, folks. That's what our children deal with. They deal with that potential being presented to them. If it's not in their own home, then they very likely have an acquaintance somewhere, a friend somewhere that does have it and would like to ask them, hey, come over, let's do so and so. Let's play, let's watch, let's look at. All those kinds of things. They'll deal with that. If you haven't dealt with it, you likely will. Somewhere, somehow, you'll deal with that. If we're not careful as adults, as parents, with the responsibility of rearing our children, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, if we put them off in a room somewhere and say, look, go play your Xbox. Go turn on your TV. Daddy's gonna watch XYZ. Whatever. What we're doing, folks, is we're beating the drums of Topheth. We're beating the drums while our children are being sacrificed to the fire god of Molech. And their shrieks and their cries, maybe they're not shrieking and crying out loud. Maybe we don't hear their voices. But we look at the way that they conduct themselves. And we see how they dress themselves. We see how they present themselves. And they have all of the markings, the tattoos, the piercings, the odd colored hair and the way that they dress themselves. And there is a cry going out. A scream and a cry that's going out. Then they're crying out for some type of help. That something's missing. Something's been neglected. Boom, 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 boom. And we beat the drum louder and louder and the shrieks are higher and higher. Boom, boom, boom. That's what we do. That's what we're doing in our United States of America. That's what we're doing to our children. And we see it. We see it. It manifests itself in so many different ways. But that's what we're dealing with. Jesus said that there is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Jesus said, it is better for you to go through life halt or maimed than to enter into judgment in hellfire, Gehenna Peros, the valley of the son of Hinnom. Now again, I said, nobody knows who Hinnom was. Nobody knows who the son of Hinnom was. Nobody knows. But Jesus used that example to paint a picture of a place He didn't want us to go. He didn't want anyone to go. He doesn't want you to go. And all of you precious young people and children, if we have failed you, I'm sorry. There is a God who is able to help you get a foothold in life. He is able to help you to have enough strength, enough courage, and enough grace to say no. There is a God that is able to do that for you. I want to introduce you to that God this evening, not the fire god Molech, but the God that is able to hear your cry. I know what you deal with. I know you deal with separated homes. I know you deal with divorces. I know that people have to deal with abuses. I know that people have to deal with those things in life. And there might be, you might need someone to hear your cry, hear your voice, and there might not be another individual human that will really, but God will. God will hear your cry. And if you'll cry to Him, He'll deliver you. He'll help you. He'll make a way for you. There is a way out, folks. God gave a plan of salvation that would reach every individual, would address every concern. When I read about this man, Legion, who was, the Scripture tells us about him, who was made his life in the tombs. He broke the chains, was unclothed. No one could do anything with him. They all feared him. And Jesus came on the scene. And Legion cried out and said, "Have you come to torment us before the time? What is your name?" "My name is Legion, for we are many." And Jesus spoke to the devils that was in Legion. And the Scripture tells us that when the people saw Him again, He was sitting, clothed, and in His right mind. Yes. The Lord is able to help you to find a place where you can have the right mindset. If the Lord is able to take care of a man that was so fully possessed of demons and cause him to have a right thinking mind, and I marvel at what Jesus said to Legion, because when it was all done, and Legion was there with the Lord, he asked Jesus this question. Allow me to paraphrase. "I'd like to go with you." It would seem to my mind, if ever there was one that needed to walk with Jesus, it would have been Legion. Yes. And it would also seem to my mind, if ever there was one that Jesus would want to put His arm around and say, "Walk with me," it would be Legion. But He said, "Go back to your house. And you tell what great things the Lord has done for you." Jesus had confidence. God had confidence in His plan of salvation to reach to a soul and save them to the uttermost, put them on a right path, a high path, and make a change, make a difference in their life. That man got deliverance. So can we all have deliverance. Children, young people today, if you're wrestling and struggling with some of these kinds of things, I would encourage you, pray. Talk to God. You might not know what to do or how. I will assure you of this one thing, folks. If you will have an honest heart before God, He will help you. Amen. He will help you. When I was wrestling, trying to understand how to live for the Lord, there were so many things that I didn't understand, and I didn't know. So many things. But I was interested in trying to do the right things. God help us here. I had heard the preaching and I'd heard the teaching about television. So I wanted to apply that to my own life. I grew up in a home where my parents had television. I mean no disrespect at all to my parents. I love my parents. They have been good to me. But I grew up in that environment where my parents had television. And I wanted to be in the room with my parents. But if I was in the room with my parents, the television was on. And they weren't paying much attention to me because of what was on the television. So I'd go to my bedroom. I'd lie down on my bed. I'd say, I want to be with my parents. And I'd go back in the living room. And there was it. I'd go back to my bedroom. Folks, I'm here to tell you this evening, God has an answer. He has a way for you. You might not be able to remove yourself from every situation, but if you have an honest and sincere heart, God will provide a path for you. He'll make a way for you. He'll make it possible for you to be able to find that way in life where God will hear your prayer. And He will be a healer to you. He will be a guide to you. He will be strength and comfort and sustenance to you. They weren't trying to do harm to me. And we're not conscientiously trying to do harm to anyone around us, I don't believe. But if we incorporate these kinds of things, and if they take up so much of our time that we're unable to devote time, the proper time, to those whom God has given us responsibility for, we're beating the drums. And they're walking the slow march to Molech. No, it's not the fire of God today. It's the modern day Molech. Walking the slow march. The drums are beating. And the cries are being drowned out. And we're possibly totally ignorant of what's going on around us. My prayer this evening is that we wake up. Now perhaps you're not in that situation tonight. I pray you're not. But if you are, there's a place of refuge. Adults, mom, dad, grandparents, uncles, aunts. There's a place of refuge. There's a place you can go to get that out of the way. The Lord said in a prophecy, He said, let not the eunuch say, I'm a dry tree. For I will be to you more than sons and daughters. And I will give you a name above every name. That was the Lord's prophecy to those who were caught in desperate situations. He has the same answer for us. Children, young people, children, little children, young people, if you find yourself in that type of situation and environment, I understand the difficulty. I understand the difficulty. There is a place of refuge for you. There is a place where you can cry your tears before the Lord. And He will hear your prayer. He'll know what's inside of your heart when you don't know what to do or how to fix it or how to arrange it any different. That's where I live. This is what is presented to me. God has a way to protect you. But you have to have a desire first to want Him above everything else in life. He will be there for you. He loves you. God bless you each one this evening is my prayer. Amen.